Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a very special guest, especially for this time of year, if you're a basketball fan, New York Knicks legend Earl the Pearl Monroe, Hall of Famer, master of the spin move, voted one of the 50 best players in NBA history, four-time All-Star, but really the only accolade that matters in this town, star of the 1973 NBA champion New York Knicks. 40 years and counting, Mr. Monroe, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you. Nice to be with you.
And your new memoir, Earl the Pearl, My Story.
Yeah, it's something that I had really decided to do a few years ago. And when I got with my guy, Quincy Troop, who is also a co-writer on this, he didn't really get me at that time. He had written the Miles Davis autobiography. And when I read that and I knew Miles, it seemed like Miles was just talking to me. And I went out to California to find him, and he wrote a 50-page synopsis, but it just wasn't me. And we got back together about a year ago, and I found out he actually lived in the courtyard across from me. So we got back together here in New York. So we got back together, and we started this venture, and I think it turned out very well.
Since you brought up Miles right at the outset, we noticed that music is such a big part of your life, and it comes up in the book. So many highlights of you playing are set to the great soul and funk music of the era that you write about, and you have a very fluid musical style, I would say, physically in your game. So it turns out that's not a coincidence. When you were a kid, you used to go into your room and dribble to the beat of songs. Really?
Yeah. And that was the only way that I could really just get my so-called handle together. And by doing it, I could get a different cadence in it. So if I can do, you know, like a 2-4 or 4-4, and that way I learned how to really control the ball.
So I want to try this right now. Let's go back to 1962. You're 17 years old, and one of the groups you mentioned listening to, learning how to dribble, is Gladys Knight and the Pips. So I want you to actually describe how you dribble a basketball to this song, Operator. Can you put it into words?
Okay, I'm listening. I'm trying to see what the cadence here. Well, this is just something that, you know, like, it's very, very simple because the beat is just very straight. So you dribble to that beat and dribble to that beat, and every now and then you'll dribble high, dribble low, which makes it a different type of dribble and also makes the beat, you know, faster. So that's kind of how I did it.
And if it was a different kind of beat, if it was something more syncopated or something?
Right. And then I'd be doing it two-handed, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And how about when you got on the court? Was there music in your head when you played, even at that point?
Well, everything that I did, for the most part, you know, had some type of rhythmic thing with it. So when I did go on the court, you know, it was all about the music. And yeah, I guess it was in my head. I didn't think of it at the time, but certainly, you know, there's a certain syncopation as you play, which was one of the reasons why when I was in Baltimore, I learned, you know, to play in my space, in my time. And then
and you were on the Baltimore Bullets. You were Rookie of the Year there before you came to the Knicks.
Absolutely. And then when I got to New York, you know, this was Clyde's rhythm that I had to adjust to. So a lot of times it's very hard to adjust to those rhythms if you're not used to it. It takes a little time, but, you know, fortunately we got it together.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls. If any Earl the Pearl fans want to check in and ask him a question, Earl the Pearl Monroe with the memoir, Earl the Pearl, My Story. And yes, we'll get to what he thinks about the Knicks' chances this year and the Nets. But we have an excerpt on our website from the book. You can see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And you talk about the movies, the music, the clothes. And again, Clyde comes up, Walt Frazier. The clothes that you and he made famous and became famous for. Can you describe New York, the city, in the early 70s, in your basketball heyday?
Well, New York City was just a wonderful place. It was a happy place. When you think about the Vietnam War was just ending. People were, you know, enjoying, you know, better status as far as their financials were concerned. And it was just a happy, happy spot. And then you also had a lot of the blaxploitation movies that were coming up during that time. And if you look at maybe a team like, you say Clyde again. You know, you would think as though that was like a Superfly look that Clyde had. Of course, he simplified it and made it his own. But those were kind of, you know, things, high shoes, high heel shoes, bell-bottom pants, big hair, and all that kind of stuff. It was just a great time.
70s wasn't a great time in New York in a lot of ways. By the late 70s, you know, things were pretty horrible. But it was large in certain respects, too.
Yeah, it was large. But, you know, after coming out of the 60s, it was, a big departure. In the 60s, when you think about all the, things that happened in there with all, Kennedy, then Malcolm X, then Martin Luther King,
right.
And then Kennedy again, all those assassinations, The civil rights movement, during that time, Vietnam War, it was a dark decade.
Did people on the team ever talk politics?
Yeah, well, that's one of the great things about being on, the New York Knicks team, was that we've talked politics pretty much, and we all knew that Bill Bradley had aspirations for political office, and it just made it so that we related. And a lot of times as a athlete, you don't relate to other things that are going on outside of the basketball arena. But this team, was one that talked about it, and not only off the court, but we got together in groups and whatnot and talked about all those things that were going on.
Let's get a call in. Sam in Harlem, you're on WNYC with Earl Monroe. Hi, Sam.
Hi, this is Sam from Syracuse. I just wanted to make this comment that when you play defense against a guy, one of the things that you want to do is disrupt his rhythm. Earl always had a different rhythm from everybody else, which made it very difficult to defend him. And so now I understand why that's the case. Because of the fact that he practiced dribbling to music and was able to change his rhythm without really thinking about it.
I think so. And that seemed to be what you're describing before.
Yeah, and it's amazing because sometimes, you don't think about it. After you do it for a while, it becomes second nature. And that's what the whole thing about improvisation is that you do it unconsciously, but you make it happen.
And you had your famous signature spin move, which was really devastating to opponents and I think put them off their rhythm in just the way that the caller says. And there's this famous quote of yours where you said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with the ball. And if I don't know, I'm quite sure the guy guarding me doesn't know either." So,
Well, that comes from being able to react to someone else's action. And if he goes left, then I'm going right. So, but how do you make him go left? You stutter step, you have head bobs, you do all those type of things, and you get him to lean. Once he leans one way, you can't lean two ways at once. So you lean one way, and you go the other way.
Howard in Montclair, you're on WNYC with Earl Monroe. Hi.
Hi. I want to ask Earl if he thinks Kevin Durant doesn't have enough force, is not mean enough, doesn't demand the ball enough to go all the way.
Kevin Durant.
Hi. I don't know. I think that it's not always the big star that makes it happen. It's your, surrounding talent, it's your complementary talents and whatnot. I always felt that when they got rid of Harden last year, it really changed the whole landscape of OKC. And I think if they had him back, they would be much more applicable to get back to the championship. Without him, I think it's going to be much harder. I'm looking at San Antonio playing and what they're doing, and they seem to be pretty locked in. So I think that's going to be the real competition.
Sounds like you still follow the game.
Well, yeah, so I also do some broadcasting with MSG, so I have to kind of keep up with it somewhat.
So can you say in an unbiased way how far you think the Knicks can go this year? I hear on the Sports Talk, which I listen to sometimes for fun, that, you know, callers would say, oh, these Knicks, you know, and Melo and everything, and now we, you know, we came in second in the East, and, you know, we can go all the way this year. And the hosts always are talking people down and saying, be happy with winning the division, and, you know, and you're not going to beat the Heat, so be happy with what you can do.
Well, you know, I kind of disagree with that in the sense that I think that because this team has gone through a lot this year in terms of the injuries and still have been able to come out and second best in the East, I think their confidence is up. I think the fact that they've beaten Miami 3 out of 4 times that they've played them, I think that's also a factor when you talk in terms of this playoffs. The thing that I'm concerned with is those other teams. I think they can beat all these teams, and they could go all the way to the championship. But, you know, things will have to align themselves, you know, the stars and all those things for that to happen. But I think they're a great team. They could play big. They could play small. And the interesting thing, Mike Woodson has them playing a lot of defense, and the defense in the playoffs is really what wins.
Last question. We'll give to a listener who posted on our website, Antonio in Queens. Did your perspective change upon retirement as what is the most important attribute a basketball player should have? Interesting question.
Well, no. My foresight as far as basketball is concerned has been the same for a long, long time. In Philadelphia, where I grew up, you know, it wasn't just about playing basketball. It was the knowledge of the game of basketball. So that knowledge of the game, you know, I've kept, you know, throughout. And I think that, if anything, the most important thing about being in a basketball game or after a basketball game is the fact that you've participated and given your all.
Earl Monroe, his new memoir, Earl the Pearl, My Story. He will be reading at Menda Books in Mendham, 7 o'clock tonight. Meet Earl the Pearl in Mendham, 7 o'clock tonight, Mendham Books, and Thursday, 6 p.m. at Bookends in Ridgewood. So much fun for me to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly. You're good.